Welcome into the Roto Lounge. It's your boy Brad Starks. Today we're going to talk about Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas/Georgia. And there's a lot of hype around him, some positive hype, some negative hype. We're going to get into all that, let you know what I think about him. But before we do that, you know what time it is. Let's get our drinks. Let's get our bourbon. Let's get our whatever you're drinking on tonight. Mine's going to be bourbon. I'll hit you on the flip side. All right, I'm back. And tonight I'm going to drink on some Bullet single barrel bourbon that I got from Ohio when I first started hunting, like years and years and years ago. I got this bottle. I waited for this bottle and I got a second bottle. It's like my very first hunt for like a store pick. They released it years ago when waiting in line for an Ohio store pick was a thing. But this is the Bullet bourbon. It's the black label. It says single barrel in orange. You can find it on your shelf probably somewhere in your neck of the woods. I don't know if they have to be store picks or they're just single barrels on the shelf. But this is the OHLQ release one. And it comes in at 104 proof. All right, let's check it out. So I've had this for years. This is my second bottle. And I remember when I first had it, I used to put it on ice and it was like a vanilla bomb. So let's see what we got tonight. Oh, it's got a really good nose. I think it's more of a, like a toffee, caramel. Oh, like what's that? It's like fig, baking spice, concentrated. Very good nose, actually. I like it. All right, listen for the palate. Ooh, oh my. Totally different than I remember. Cherry, but it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like very like concentrated. It's actually really good. I remember it being good, but it's been a long time since I've had it, and it's been oxidizing, but I get like cherry, like almost like cherry flavored oak, if that makes sense. Like if you were to take the oak and let it sit in cherry juice and then suck on it, it almost tastes like that. It's got a nice Kentucky hug. Very good, very good. All right, so let's get into Adonai Mitchell. And there's a lot of hype around him. I've seen people have him as high as wide receiver 4. And we'll talk about, I'll go through everything I really know about him. And, you know, we'll look at his pros and his cons and what I think about him, do some data, film, and comps. But let's start. So he was born October 8th, 2002. That's going to put him at 21 years of age when it gets to the draft. October of this year. He'll be 22. So he was a 3-star recruit out of Tennessee. He went to high school at Cane Ridge in Antioch, Tennessee. He was the 60th wide receiver in his class that year. Same recruiting class that Marvin Harrison was, 21. Xavier Worthy was, I think, 13. Brian Thomas was 9. Malik Nabers was 19. There was a lot of the guys in this class were in that class. So I do remember I was on the interwebs and I was on a Tennessee Vols page, and they were complaining because the Tennessee coach at the time refused to offer Mitchell a scholarship because he was a diabetic. And you know, the Tennessee fans were like, oh, our coach is so stupid, what a bad coach. So I guess that these Tennessee Vol fans really, really love Mitchell, and the coach refused to give him a scholarship because he was a diabetic. And we'll get into that because there's a lot of reports that are surfacing now about Mitchell and that he doesn't care for his diagnosis the way that he should. I can't speak on it. I don't want to speak out of turn. I can talk about what I've read, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So we want to talk about what he did when he was in college. So he went to Georgia, started at Georgia as a true freshman. The year that George Pickens tore his ACL in practice, in spring practice, would that put Adonai Mitchell in line to be, you know, a player that's going to get some playing time? George Pickens was the leading receiver the year before. They had another high recruit, Jermaine Burton, there. He was there also the year before. But they had true freshmen come in. They had Brock Bowers come in. Ladd McConkey was a redshirt freshman. And Adonai Mitchell and Jermaine Burton. So you had 4 guys there competing for targets. And as his freshman year, he had 29 receptions, 426 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That gave him, when you look at his dominant rating with touchdowns, receiving yards and touchdowns, was a 10.87. His dominator rating with just the yards and the touchdowns was a 10.79. And if you're not sure how I do this, go back and listen to the Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, and Malik Nabers podcast that I did last week. And you can kind of listen to how I like to look at the dominator rating with receptions, because I think it talks more about how much they're involved in the offense and they're not just a deep threat when you talk about yards and touchdowns. Because in the NFL, we're looking for players that are going to get catches as well as yards and touchdowns sprinkled in. But we don't want to be too heavy on touchdowns. If you look at it the second year going in, he was a sophomore. He had an ankle injury the second game of the year against Samford. I think it was the first play. He went down with a high ankle sprain, and he was out the majority of the year. It took him 4 months to recover. I read some articles. Kirby Smart seemed... In some of the articles, he seemed to be a little frustrated. He kept saying he was hopeful that he would return. And again, I don't know if that has anything to do with the diabetes, if that affects his recovery or not. But it did take him 4 months to recover. Based on data online, it says the average for an NFL player is a 2-month recovery. And I know ankle injuries are different for every player. You know, last year, Patrick Mahomes returned after 8 days, led his team to the Super Bowl. Saquon Barkley had a high ankle sprain. He returned in 2 weeks. And again, they're college players, so they could be taking their time. You know, I don't know what happened in that regard. But after the season, he ended up transferring to Texas. But what he did play, he had 9 receptions, 134 yards, 3 touchdowns, 12.81% of the team's offense, and 15.87 with just the yards and the touchdowns. So as a junior, he went to Texas, transferred to Texas. I think he said he wanted to be closer to his wife and kid. He has a young kid in Texas, so he wanted to be closer to them. Did very well for Texas. You know, he had Xavier Worthy on the team. Quinn Ewers was the quarterback. He had 55 receptions, 845 yards, and 11 touchdowns. That gave him a great dominator rating. Receptions, yards, and touchdowns was 27.66, and just yards and touchdowns gave him a 32.68. Now, this was his age 21 season. So his last year in college, he finally broke out. We talk about the college dominator rating when you finally have 20% of your team's market share and your breakout age. So his last year of college, he broke out. You know, a lot of that, if you look at that yards and touchdowns, 32.68, that's because he had a lot of touchdowns. If you add in the yards, it drops all the way to 27.6, because while the yards and touchdowns were nice, he didn't have a lot of receptions when compared to other players on the team. I mean, he did, but it wasn't a dominating performance, okay? So we look at his college career. Over the 3 seasons that he played, he had 11.78% of the team's receptions and 13.41% of his team's yards when you look at all 3 college seasons, which combined is only a 12.59% of his team's offense. Now, that's very low in my model. And I will say right now, the model initially had Adonai Mitchell as a top 24 talent, but his production is really low. He had 1,400 yards in 3 seasons across, I think, 96 receptions. And that's just not going to cut it. When you look at, in my model, when you look at players that had 3 seasons with that low of output, very few players hit. You look at outliers. You look at the James Jones, who had a great year with Aaron Rodgers, and he had a good year with the Raiders. He did pretty well with a low college production. You look at Doug Baldwin, who was an undrafted free agent, didn't do well, had around, I think, 1,400 or 1,300 yards. You know, you look at guys like Randall Cobb, who played quarterback for 2 years, and then he played wide receiver. He didn't have it. But you look at also first-round picks like Anthony Gonzalez, who went to the Indianapolis Colts at the end of the first round. He had like 1,200 yards in his career, was a first-round pick, was a bust. There's not a lot of players that performed this poorly in college and became good NFL pros. Now, there's a lot of hype around Mitchell because he has all the tools. And, you know, people want to make excuses. He had a bad quarterback. He had this. He had that. The reason I got into data was because I made excuses for players as well. And I tried to fit a narrative around a player that I liked and why they would be good, because what I watched on film, I thought they could be good. So I would make an excuse. nine times out of 10, those excuses were just a band-aid. It was not a true excuse. It was not a true reason why that player didn't perform. There's other reasons surrounding that performance. And as I got into data, I could weed out those players and weed out the excuses. All right. So a lot of people are making excuses for Donovan Mitchell. I think that it's a red flag to make an excuse for him. NFL evaluators do think that if he can put it all together, he could be a good NFL wide receiver. However, there's a few red flags. Okay. First of all, when we watched the combine, let's just go back to the combine. What was on the combine? He had a very poor combine. Yes, he ran great in a straight line, a 4.34 40 yard dash, jumped out the gym, right? A very strong athlete. But when he ran the routes, it looked like he didn't even know how to run routes. And you can read that on the internet. That's not just coming from me. A lot of scouts said he looked like he didn't even know what he was doing out there. Very inconsistent player. Yes, okay, you can have a great play here and there and look good on the field. The NFL is about being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there to make a play. You can't have one good rep and then not have another good rep, right? Eventually, you're going to see the bench. Now, there was also reports that came out about his diabetes and the fact that he didn't take care of his diabetes and that he was poor in meetings. He was poor at practice because he didn't monitor his blood level. And again, I'm not a doctor. I don't really know a lot about diabetes. So if I say something wrong, don't get on me. I did read about Mark Andrews, the fact that Mark Andrews has diabetes and he pricks his finger like 30 times a game or something to make sure that his blood sugar level is where it needs to be. So one, they're going to have someone get with Adonai Mitchell, AD Mitchell, as you know people call him, get with him to make sure he's regulating his, you know, his day or however you have to regulate it. He needs to get on track and do that, because without being able to regulate that, he's not going to be able to have consistency. You can't have, you know, your highs and your lows. So apparently that came from both coaching staffs, Texas and Georgia. And when he left Georgia, he said he left intentionally. Who knows what the situation was. Now, from things I read online, the Georgia fans love him. The Texas fans love him. The Tennessee fans love him. All the fan bases love him. So I'm sure he's a great guy. And he just needs, you know, help regulating this thing that he has to deal with. So if he can put all that together, right, he's got to get that worked on. He's got to get his consistency as far as route running, his consistency about being where he needs to be. On film, he has some really good plays, and then he has some inconsistent plays. Let's get some more of this bourbon, shall we? Let's get some more of this bourbon. Cheers. That's really good. I mean, it's not like great. It's a different profile that I haven't had in a while. And I think Bullet, I don't know if Bullet's their own juice or that's MGP, but it's just a profile I haven't had in a while. So maybe that's why I think it's so good. When you talk about Mitchell as a prospect, when you talk about what you see on his tape, he's got the really good long speed, right? He can beat them deep, 4.34 40, right? We know that speed based on the combine. He has a vertical jump, so he can out-jump players. There's some highlights you can find online where he just glides in the air. A great athlete altogether. Hot and cold route runner. He even admitted at Texas he took some routes off to rest and their offense, I think, was schemed to where they would already decide what side of the field they were going to. So it's kind of hard to decide if he even needed to do anything because the ball wasn't even going over there. A natural receiver, natural catcher, catches the ball away from his frame, very wide catch radius. On tape, he has things that you like. He's just so hot and cold. You know, some routes he runs bad. Some routes he loses interest. You know, he's just so up and down. He's just so up and down. And I'm torn on his evaluation because when I run him through the model doesn't like him. But the model also didn't really like DK Metcalf. And it also didn't like Jaylen Waddle. So I don't want to completely close the door on him because I think he's got a lot of work to do. But when you want to talk about comparisons, I want to read a few things to you. Because right now, I have his ceiling as a DK Metcalf ceiling, and I have his floor as Breshad Perriman. For those that remember, Breshad Perriman was a first-round draft pick out of UCF to Detroit. Listen to some of these notes by Lance Zierlein from NFL.com. Unpolished gym. Rare height, weight, and speed. All right, that's DK. How about this one? Rare combo size speed. Work in progress. That's Prashad Perriman. And here's AD. Ascending prospect with size, speed, ball skills. Still in the process of bridging those traits. All right, here's one. Wipes out cushions, DK. Here's Prashad Perriman. Quick accelerator off the snap and destroys the cushion. Here's AD. A long strider who eats up cushion. All right, how about this one? Needs expanded route tree. That's DK Metcalf. Here's Prashad Perriman. Sloppy routes, work in progress. AD. Keep routes on time with better efficiency, lacks focus and efficiency. These three guys are the same. They all needed work. Prashad Perriman didn't pan out. I mean, he played in the league for several years. He's got the speed. Never got his routes down. Questionable hands. DK has done pretty well for himself. Now, DK has, you know, Donnie Mitchell by 20 pounds, right? He's a monster. He's like 230. I mean, he's built like a bigger Andre Johnson and as fast as all get out. AD's not that big as DK, but I think he does have potential if he puts it all together. So AD Mitchell isn't going to be my number four receiver. He's not going to be my number five receiver. He's probably going to be around six or seven for me because you want to acknowledge the upside, but he's going to have a very low floor. There's the fact that he could just be an outright bust. With having to control the diabetes and getting that, you know, under control and regulated, between his inconsistency on the field, on film, he's got a lot of work to do. He will be drafted in the first round because of his traits and the fact that NFL teams feel if he can put it all together, he'll be great. He'll be a really solid wide receiver one. If he doesn't put it together, he's going to be a top 36 wide receiver, you know, that finds his way from team to team riding the bench. Now, I did do a special podcast for the patrons where I talked about draft capital and how first round draft capital, second round draft capital, third round draft capital doesn't matter as much as you might think, in my opinion. If you're interested in that, go to my patron site. It's $1 a month. I put some stuff out there. You can listen to some special podcasts, or we can chat in the Discord, or you can reach out to me via text and I can help you with your teams. So check that out, Roto Lounge, or patreon.com/RotoLounge if you're interested in any of that. But for me, I have receivers rated over AD Mitchell. Again, the model did not like him. It had him as a top 24, which is the lowest of the three rankings, top 5, top 12, top 24. However, it had Amon-Ra St. Brown as a top 24, right? It's had players at top 24 that have exceeded that. So he can't exceed that, but it doesn't have him as a 5 or a 12, and a lot of that has to do with his poor college production and the fact that we haven't really seen that, and we're not going to make excuses for him, right? Xavier Worthy was there with Quinn Ewers. He put up 1,000 yards, so we're not going to use the excuse that he had a bad quarterback. He had his opportunities, just like every receiver that enters the draft has had their opportunities, and we look back at history, and we look at what has worked and what hasn't worked at the NFL level. And his body of work is not a recipe for success at the NFL level. So in my opinion, if AD Mitchell hits, he's going to be an outlier. And that's fine. But how much do you want to bet on an outlier? How much do you want to wager on an outlier? Do you want to use your only number one pick in a draft on AD Mitchell? Yes, it might reward you, but it also might be a wasted pick. And this is why I'm pushing everybody to package your number one pick. If it's not in position to get Marvin, Rome, or Malik Nabers, package that number one pick. Add players. Add next year's pick. Add picks down the line. Move up and get one of the top three studs. We'd be lucky to get one of them in a class. This year we get three of them. And it might make it cheaper for you because it's not just one people are fighting for. Right? Picks one and two. Those are what people are fighting for. If you can go after the number three pick, the third pick and offer something, the guy might move out because he might love A.D. Mitchell. He might love Brian Thomas Jr. He might love some of these other guys that are getting a lot of hype. Take advantage of that. Package it up. Move up and get what I think is more of a sure thing than these guys who could be outliers. They could hit, but they also have a low floor, a 50-50 shot. A.D. Mitchell could be Prashad Perriman. A.D. Mitchell could be DK Metcalf. It's a 50-50. I think the other guys are sure things, so I definitely would rather get those. So anyways, I appreciate you hanging with me. Let's finish this Bullet Bourbon. Really good whiskey. If you can find Bullet Bourbon single barrel, I would try it. I would try it. I mean, this is an OHLQ Ohio edition, but I think you can find them on the shelves. If you're wondering what to buy, go check this out. It's actually pretty good in my opinion. I haven't had this profile, but I think it's pretty good. All right, till next time, this has been your boy Brad Starks. Cheers.